For the rest of us, would you turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4? And our text is verses 7 through 26. John chapter 4, verses 7 through 26. Beginning to read in verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray this morning that you, by your Spirit, will unfold this message to us, Lord God, from your word. Pray that you will be glorified in it. Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I bring forth this message. Pray that you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you ordained for me to speak today, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today about true worship. True worship. The conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well is one of the high points of John's gospel. Included in his conversation is a revelation concerning true worship. We need to note that this encounter did not take place in a hushed sacred setting, but in Samaria of all places, and to a woman whose life was jaded with moral sin. But then, this is the glory and beauty of God's truth. It knows no limit of time, place, or person. It is revealed to those who are already ready to receive it, whoever they are and wherever they are. So by God's Spirit, the truth was revealed to this Samaritan woman. Actually, she tried to change the subject as Jesus began to probe deeply into her life. The popular evasive question in her day seemed to have been, where is the proper place to worship? In Jerusalem or on this sacred mountain in Samaria? Jesus did not ignore the question. He used it as a springboard from which to reveal to her the classic Christian definition of worship, the pattern for all true worship. You know, we have all kinds of different ideas about worship. Some people feel that there's no reason to have anything but the hymns. Some people think that there's no place for the hymns in our culture anymore. By the way, I disagree. I like a blend. Some people feel that the only time they really worship is when they come together like we are here in church today. That's called corporate worship. And corporate worship is powerful. We need to do that. We are supposed to gather together and worship God. But that's not it. Because, see, true worship is a lifestyle. True worship is a lifestyle. It's the way we live. We live in an attitude of worship every day of our lives. That's what true worship is. Yes, it's important to come together and worship God together. And we do that, and some people like this kind of worship, some people like that kind of worship. There are umpteen different kinds of worship. It's just like ice cream. You go to Baskin Robbins or some equivalent and you got 31 flavors to pick from because everybody's different. I used to take my mom to Baskin Robbins and every time she got vanilla ice cream. I was like, really? She said, well, that's what I like. Everybody has different kinds of worship they like, that they prefer. That's okay. But what really needs to be there is a lifestyle of worship at the end of the day. Amen. We need to have established in our hearts, I'm going to praise God because of who He is. Because my worship that comes out of me is not going to be conditional on whether I like the song that's being sung or the song that's being played. It's not going to be conditional depending on whether things are going in my life like I like them to be. Now, somebody's toes are getting tromped on. Every once in a while, somebody will say to me, Pastor, you're gone for preaching to meddling. Can I indulge you with metal a little bit? When you're on the job and you're passed over for a promotion that you feel you were more qualified for and more deserving of because you're a harder worker than the person that got the promotion that you were expecting to get, I'm going to praise God anyway. See, if we don't have that established in our heart, if we don't have an attitude of praise established into our lifestyle, then when anything that comes along that is distasteful to us, then we will grumble instead of praising God. But if we establish ourselves in an attitude of praise and do what it says in the Word of God, by the way, when it says, praise God in all things. It doesn't say in some things. See, I'm preaching to myself because I'm guilty too. Isn't it easy to complain? It's way, way too easy to complain. Anything that comes into our life, anything that we deem is unfair. And all of a sudden we find ourselves grumbling about it. And if we're not careful, we become a person that people don't want to be around because we become a person that's a joy sucker. And when people get near us, we pull them down. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen, I'm telling you. Years ago, back when I was running my shop, I've told this before, but there's a lot of people here that weren't here last time I told them. True story. There was a guy that I knew. And I'd fix a vehicle and take it for a test drive and make sure it was all right, you know. And maybe I hadn't had anything to eat yet today or anything. Maybe I wanted a cup of coffee. I'd stop down at the restaurant down here on 14th Avenue. And every once in a while, there was a guy sitting there, and I'd always sit up at the bar so I wasn't taking a whole booth or a table because I was alone. And I just wanted to get in and out quick, you know, just a quick break. Something to drink or maybe something to eat. Man, it was inevitable. I go in there, and I sit down, and if this one gentleman was there sitting on the stool, man, if I was there for 10 minutes, even if I was having the best day of my life, I mean, every vehicle I touched was actually fixed when I got done with it. You know? I mean, I'm having the day of my life. And that dude, man, he started talking to me. And after 10 minutes of it, I had to crawl out of the place. I couldn't even stand up. I was down so low, I couldn't even see a reason to live anymore. Now, I don't want to be one of those people, and I don't want you to be one of those people that does that to people. See, because our influence, because we are in Christ, and as we walk in an attitude of praise, in an attitude of worship, we should be lifting people up that are in our circle of influence instead of tearing people down. So, true worship, first of all, is not man-made. True worship is not man-made. See, man has made a lot of worship. There are a lot of people with a lot of talents. There are a lot of musicians that are very talented on this earth. But I dare say it's a small percentage of those musicians that are truly anointed to lead worship in God's house. Because to be a lead worshiper, you need to be in an attitude of worship all the time. At least as much as possible. Walking in an attitude of praise. Because guys, if the only time we're praising God is when we're here in church, we've missed it. I don't care how good it is. We have missed it. Because our lives need to reflect Jesus. And our attitude should be an attitude of praise to God. Man, I'm convicting myself. Because I'm human. I need help in this area as well. See, I'm not standing up here preaching down at you like I got it all together. Please understand. I struggle with these things myself. That's why this is a very relevant message. It is way too easy to complain. There are three basic weaknesses of man-made worship that are revealed in Jesus' words to the woman. First, man-made worship is contrived. Okay? You got Mount Gerizim in Samaria. That was the place that they went to worship. So that's where they said you needed to go worship. And if you didn't worship there, you weren't in it, man. And then you got the Jews that said you have to go to Jerusalem to worship. Now, you need to understand, the Jews looked down on the Samaritans because they were not a pure bloodline. That was why there was this thing where the woman said in the passage we just read, how is it you ask me for something to drink? I'm a Samaritan woman. She said that because she was not even used to being addressed at all by a Jewish person. Because they looked down their long noses at him because they were Samaritans. They were not pure bloodline. Not only is mad what made worship contrived, it is also ignorant of truth. Years ago, there was something that stirred up down in Florida that was called worldwide. They called it a revival. They called them revival meetings. What it truthfully was contrived by man. I've mentioned this to our people before in the past, but it's very relevant when we're talking about worship. Now, here's why I'm bringing this up. They had a bunch of musicians, and they were good musicians, and people that went there said, oh my gosh, the worship is amazing. Now, ultimately, what was amazing was the music. Do you understand the difference?
Yeah.
Do you understand the difference between good music and worship?
Yeah.
See, man can contrive good music.
That's right.
But true worship doesn't come from man. It comes from God to man and back to himself. Because true worship has its foundation in the throne of God. So, all these people from all over the world, and even from this area, pastors included, took off and went down there and got in the middle of that. I had prayed about it, and the Lord said, no, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to watch it on the internet. I don't want you to watch it on television. I don't want you feasting your eyes on it at all. Okay. I was the odd guy out because it was the big thing. Everybody was heading down there. Man. Well, what I started finding out from people was, oh, the worship is great. I said, what about the word? Oh, the worship is great, but what about the word? The word wasn't even being preached. The word of God was not even being preached. There was music being played. The guy that was the leader of it, I don't really want to say his name, but the guy that was the leader of it showed up every night in a tank top and shorts, and showed off whatever his new tattoo was. Okay? What does that have to do with the move of God? What does that have to do with worshiping God? Well, long story short, a lot of people were duped by this. There were even spurious miracles. Remember I talked about them recently? Remember? There were even spurious miracles that took place. There were people that it seemed they had been healed, but they didn't last long. You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
What was wrong was back soon. It was spurious miracles. Okay? The next thing that happened was the guy that was the leader of this thing, that was propped up by a bunch of other leaders and exalted, all of a sudden, separated from his wife, divorced from her, he was involved with another woman in the ministry. And had been. Well, obviously that fell apart. God's looking for true worshipers. He's not just looking for people that have a talent. He's looking for people that have a heart after Him. And whether we play an instrument or sing or not, the bottom line is He wants us all to be worshipers. For all of us to worship Him. He anoints those who He does to lead worship. Thank God. I thank God for the people that we have on our worship team. We'd be in trouble if I had to lead worship. I don't have any musical talents at all. Talk about driving people out. It'd be like this. No musical talents whatsoever. So I just stick with preaching the word. Man-made worship is quite often also superstitious. There's a lot of superstition in man-made worship. Samaritans mixed the worship of God with a bunch of other gods. This is something that happens in a lot of places where there is a lot of witchcraft, and in third world countries, in Haiti it's rampant, in many of the nations, almost all the nations in Africa, there's this deal where you go and you minister to them, and there's a danger that when they receive Christ, they just put Him right alongside all the other gods that they... Isn't that true, Jim? Did you run into that? I ran into that all the time. So you had to immediately teach them. You need to let go of all. This is the one true God, and He's a jealous God. And He won't allow you to have any other gods before Him. And not alongside Him either. So, there's that with man-made worship. When I was over in Africa, one of the times, we were worshiping and the Spirit of God fell. And I'm telling you, I thought I was going to fall over backwards, man. I'm serious. I about went over backwards. The Spirit of God fell so heavy. Well, all of a sudden, this woman that was there was like this and looked like she was nailed on a cross. She couldn't move. And then she started manifesting. I don't know how many of you know what I'm talking about, but manifesting demonic things. I was up front, okay, minister. And this was about halfway back. I looked back there, and these people were obviously into superstitions because you got one that's got a rag and going like this. Like this is going to help release this woman from the demonic bondage. And another one was standing there and spitting on this woman. And I was like, And there were other ones doing other things. Okay? Man-made. Right? That's my point. Man-made. That's what man-made worship gets you. Okay? So, I make my way back there to pray over this woman. I said, no, no. I said, stop it. No. And I pulled out my anointing oil, and I put anointing oil on my hand, and I slapped my hand on her head and started praying. And I'm telling you, this woman was practically turned inside out. God cleaned her up. And when this woman got up, her hands went straight up in the air, and she was praising God. And I don't speak their language, so I'm not positive she was speaking in tongues, but I think she was, because it didn't sound like the language that they've been interpreting to me. It sounded different, so I think she was speaking in tongues. This woman was full. I'm telling you, she got set free and was full. And then I found out later, this woman was a secretary to one of the officials that served on the parliament. And she went to work the next day and brought the parliament dude back with her. And he brought this massive bag of rice that they had to haul on a little truck, to offer food for this thing so that the people that came from so far away with nothing to eat would be able to eat. This parliament official donated a bunch of rice for this. But my point is this. When the worship is authentic, God does things. God does things that are real. People get set free. People get delivered. People get healed. And it's real. It's not contrived by man. Well, then Jesus goes on and he tells the woman about God-centered worship. In telling the Samaritan woman about God-centered worship, Jesus gave her the eternal formula for true worship. Verses 23 and 24 of our text. It says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. This will preach.
Amen.
This will preach. God is spirit. He won't receive anything that comes out of man, contrived from man. He receives only worship that comes from him, through us, and back to him.
Yes. Amen.
That is the only worship he receives. He said, the time will come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. His point is, you won't have to go to this mountain, and you won't have to go to this town. You won't have to go here, you won't have to go there, because the Spirit of God indwells you. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again believer, the kingdom of God indwells you. Kingdom of God indwells you. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. Listen, guys, I love it when I get in the spirit when I'm worshiping God because I feel like I leave my feet. I've experienced that a lot more in the last year because when I had COVID a year ago, I lost a feeling in my feet and I don't have a back yet. So I can't feel my feet. So when I start feeling like I'm floating, I actually got to look down and see if I am not. Because I can't feel my feet. It's real interesting driving. Gas and brake pedal. Got to kind of make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. Worshiping in spirit. See, when we worship in spirit, then we understand and our purpose is not that the worship is for us. Can I talk to you a minute?
Yes.
See, when we worship God, the worship is not for you and me. True worship is worship for Him and Him alone. I know a lot of people that have had a tendency to think that God has favorite songs. Can I tell you something? Wrong. Wrong answer. Our God does not have favorite songs. Do you know which songs God likes? The ones that open our hearts to Him. See, that's the difference. We have different preferences. Specific songs, depending on who we are and where we grew up and what we grew up in, different songs move us in different ways. Am I making sense? But the bottom line is, when we are moved by a worship song, and then that compels us to, out of the Spirit of God that is in us, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. So the songs that God likes are the ones that move us to release that worship back to Him. He don't have favor. We do. I know I do. I know which songs move me. And if I had my way, we'd do the ones I like all the time. No, I wouldn't do that because I understand what I just preached. Everybody has different preferences. But what's really important as we live a life of true worship is that we are living a lifestyle of worship. True worship, not contrived by man. Yeah. Didn't get up there high enough. It's all right, I'm still standing. Something that he said, for they are the kind of worship, the worshipers the Father seeks. Who are the worshipers that God seeks? Our Father seeks? Those that worship in spirit and in truth. I am making fun of no one. I am merely making a statement and explaining something. We should be preparing ourselves for corporate worship before we ever get here. We should have already been preparing ourselves before our feet hit the floor on Sunday morning. We should be working on our relationship with God and preparing ourselves for corporate worship. See, running in the door under the wire, or 5 minutes late, or 10 minutes late, or 20 minutes late, and then getting in, and then looking. I'm sorry, I don't think that's true worship. Am I making sense?
Yes.
I clearly don't want to offend anybody, and I'm not making fun of anybody. I am merely making a statement and trying to help you all understand what the difference is between true worship and what's not true. See, God-centered worship is initiated by God. When man is initiating worship, it's not God-pleasing, it's not God-glorifying. But when we are submitted to God and flow in the Spirit and let the Spirit of God flow through us, then we're true worshipers. You know, it doesn't have a lot to do with talent. I read a book one time that was about a gentleman that had a voice similar to mine. Apparently. But this gentleman lived near a church, and he wanted to sing in the choir, and he kept going and asking, and they wouldn't let him sing in the choir. No, you can't sing in the choir. Your voice is horrific. People would ask me to sing tenor. 10 or 20 miles from here.
So if I get out there on that limb and start cutting it off behind me.
So you don't realize this, but I've only preached about a quarter of my message. When I got up here, I sensed God wanted me to change what I had planned. I'm preaching from the same passage, but what I had prepared, I have hardly preached any of, and won't be. I've just been letting the Spirit lead me. That's why I've been standing here for moments with gaps. I don't normally do that, but God is leading this. There's something God is wanting us to get and leave here today within our hearts. Because He's looking for worshipers that truly worship in spirit and in truth. And our God is mounting up to do something really big soon.
Amen.
How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Our God is not done yet. He's just getting started. And I'm excited. And I want to praise Him. I just want to praise Him. Because He's worthy. He loves us with an unconditional love. He loves us. Jesus invoked the Father on our behalf in John 17, verse 17. He said, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Your word is truth. Sanctify them. You realize what sanctify means? It means set apart. Okay? How many of you, as true worshipers of God, are feeling less and less at home in this world we live in.
Amen.
This is something that has really been impacting me. My wife and I mention it every once in a while at home. It's come up more in the last 2 years. It's like, oh my gosh, I do not feel at all like this world is my home anymore. You know why that is? Because it's not. Our eyes as true worshipers of God need to be on the prize, eternal life. We need to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. He and He alone is our mighty and awesome God. And you know what? It's okay to understand, to pay attention, and know what the devil's up to. I do the same thing. But don't get so focused on what the devil's doing that you get drawn away from worshiping your God. That's why He exhorted us to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. Because we've got a great big God and a little bitty devil. Don't mix that up. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Oh, let's see what we got here. I might have another couple sentences in my message. Worship is genuine when God's people find friendship, like we sung about today, and intimacy with Him. He is ever seeking us and longs to have fellowship with His redeemed people. Yes. Our God wants fellowship with us. Amen. Don't that blow your mind?
Yeah.
Is there anybody else like me that feels like such a failure? I've said so many times in my Christian life, Lord, why did You even want me? I'm such a screw up. Why would You even want me? Have you ever felt like that?
Yes.
Of course, when you get down that road, the enemy's always there to help you. Yeah, right. You'll never be good enough. Yeah, I know. That's why Jesus came. That's why He died for me. Did you get something out of this?
Yes.
We're going to be true worshipers, right? Let's all stand together. Father, we are so thankful that Your Spirit indwells us and empowers us to fulfill what Your Word requires. Thank You for that, Lord. And I just pray in Jesus' name that every one of us leaves here today having heard Your Word, adhering to Your Word, and living it out. Lord, work in such a way in us that we will be true worshipers. That we truly will worship You every day from our heart in spirit and in truth, Lord God. We love You. We are so thankful for all You have done for us. We are so thankful that You are returning for us one day. And we give You all the praise for it. Now as we leave this place, Lord, help us to remember when we go out these doors, we're entering our mission field. Lord, send people into our path that need to know about You and fill our mouths full of the words that will reach them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.